And we're live.
Hey, we are live. I am Kirk M. Samuels.
And I am Jason B. Kendrick.
And we are the Mad Men of Masculinity.
That's right. We're just real men having real conversations for you.
Hey, I'm doing the finger point thing.
Yeah, doing the finger point thing. I'm doing right that. Here on your home for healthy masculinity. That finger pointing is not healthy masculinity. That's toxic masculinity right there.
On KLDC, 12:20 a.m. in the Mile High City.
Welcome to Saturday morning at 8 a.m. if that's when you're hearing us, or Wednesday at 6 p.m. if that's when you're hearing us. We go both ways.
Well, easy. Wait, hang on a second. Slow your roll.
All right, sorry about that.
Slow your roll on that, man. So you always go too far.
We go mornings and evenings, both ways.
And we're on the interwebs.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. MadMenRadio.com. All those good things, man. Find us on YouTube, Facebook. That's what I was talking about. I'll do the point. That's a really annoying thing that Jason hates when I do. I point right into the camera.
Yeah, all you got to do is look and see what he's doing. It's really annoying. It's really annoying.
Check us out. I just like to be
It just
that.
Reminds me of childhood. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
I was the older brother.
Do tell.
I was the older brother.
I didn't notice that at all.
I used to always be the poker.
Yeah, annoying.
Something like that.
Annoying.
Man. Hey, we got we looking like we came off a Skid Row.
We did, yeah.
So if you do check us out on YouTube and Facebook, you'll see that. We pretty much came in. We had a quick snowstorm today as we record this thing.
Wore my warm clothes, my layers.
We came in looking all scrubby, and we got another dude in the studio today, man. He's looking all fly, man.
I mean, look at this guy.
Again, he's cool as the other side of the guy. Pillow, man. If you've been around, you know, the Mad Men Mafia for a little bit, you've seen his face. The one and only Mr. Jude Sandoval. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for making us look bad.
For real, man. Jeez. We need you to lower the bar.
I actually
right
had
here,
to
man.
Get out of bed early this morning and go do some work, so I don't know you guys in your onesies here today.
Hey, I was working, too. That's why I got all dressed up, because I had to go out and play in the snow.
No way,
some of these wusses.
We need you to lower the bar.
We need you to lower the bar.
Somebody whose name
cold,
won't
man.
Be mentioned worried about getting here
I don't
in
like
the
cold,
in
man.
The
I don't
snow.
Like the cold. I don't like that, man.
Southern boys.
Wussy!
I don't like the cold at all, man.
Lives in Colorado. Like the code.
Jude is the divorced advocate.
Divorced advocate.
Man, this guy has a community. He has kind of just a whole tribe of support for mostly men, probably, right?
All dads.
Around guys that are going through a common experience, which is divorce. Tell us a little bit about that, Jude.
Yeah, so this was born out of my own high conflict divorce. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago now. It's been a whole decade. And about 5 years ago, I started working with men and just started coming in contact with more and more dads that were just desperate for help. There's some help out there, but specific to dads. And as Kirk, you know, going through a divorce as a father is a whole lot different than just going through a divorce without kiddos. Mm-hmm. And so I began niching that to divorce support for dads, and that's where the Divorced Advocate was born. And we've since built a community of dads that come together and support each other. We got the podcast, which is in the top 5% of all podcasts in the world.
Mm.
So we just found that out. Yeah,
obviously it's needed. Obviously, with those numbers, I mean, man, it's needed.
It's amazing. I thought I would just start something local here, Denver Metro, have some meetings, have some support for guys. And now last year we're listened to in 86 countries, 40,000 downloads. We've got guys, you know, coming to meetings and coming to classes and calling for support. So yeah. it's an unfortunate thing, but it's definitely something that's needed and support that's needed.
Most definitely.
Yeah, that is, man. That's one of the loneliest times in life, man. Any guy who's been through that journey, been through that trauma, been through that experience, man, will tell you that it is a very lonely period in time where it seems like one of the places that, or one of the experiences, it's hard to find a place for support. It's hard to find somebody that can get it, that understands, no judgment, you know, that gets there's another side to the story.
Yeah.
All those kinds of things, man. And so it is a lonely place, man. And I'm telling you, that's, you talk about a rock bottom experience, man. It's terrible. It sucks.
And it's bad enough just going through a regular breakup.
Yeah.
But the worst part is it almost seems like you get more support going through a regular breakup than you do going through a divorce.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, people are like, oh, you poor thing. Oh, she broke your heart. Oh, you poor thing. Like, you're going through a divorce. People are like, I don't want to go anywhere near that house fire. I'm going to stay over here, you know, and keep away from that dumpster fire.
Well, that's the thing that's the most challenging is when we get into family life and we start building our lives around that, and then it all falls apart. then oftentimes, and this was my experience also, is those friends that were family friends and friends of the soon-to-be ex or the kids or school or whatever it is, then they just don't necessarily know how to handle things. And it's not necessarily a reflection of any of the individual dads or any individual on either side of it. That's mostly people that just don't know how to deal with uncomfortable situations. And that's the majority of people, unfortunately, especially divorce, because not everybody goes through divorce and you don't go through it multiple times. So there's no way in which you handle it. There's no etiquette around how you handle divorce yourself. There's no etiquette around how you handle divorce with friends. There's just no etiquette around it. So it just makes it very difficult and challenging.
That's one of the reasons why I like having conversations with you. I mean, we're friends outside of this, but you know, you get it, man. You know, you're not sitting back in, you know, in some office with a bunch of papers on the wall, just sitting back like you know, like you've been there, done that. I mean, and not only that, but you're in the mix, you're in the trenches with the guys that do and that are and that have gone through that. And just even what you said just now, man, because a lot of times in marriage, your social circle ends up being your couple's social circle kind of thing. And yeah, when you go through divorce, man, one of the things that you lose is that social circle. And you're right, you know, it gets real awkward when you're around, you know, the couples or the friends, or if you go to a church or something like that. You know, you a lot of times, man, you know, the guy ends up being, you know, the one left out of the support circle, the support cycle.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably why it's easier when you're not married, yeah, going through breakups, because you keep your friends,
right?
Whereas you go get divorced and, you know, she gets the friends in the divorce, because, yeah, like I think even to Kirk's experience, you know, ladies like to talk and tell a story, and, yeah, then people start looking at you sideways, like, because, mm-hmm, she's told all these stories that may or may not be fabricated, probably fabricated, yep, about how bad and awful you are. And then you go to your normal places and people are looking at you like, oh my God, I can't believe, right, this guy.
Well, that, and you have more time to go create more social circles if you need to. Now you've got kids, you've got responsibilities, you got work, you got homework, you got to do shopping, you got to pay bills, you got to do all that stuff. Now you've got two households, not just one household. Becomes much more difficult and complicated than, hey, it was a good time, we tried, but it didn't work out, and so hasta la vista, I'm gonna go find whatever new thing I'm gonna try. So
I had I'm better than you, Jude. I had two divorces.
I know you are. you got me.
You're, yeah, a rookie, man.
Yeah, I know.
You're a Padawan, or, yeah, whatever they call it. I'm a Jedi,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure.
I've had one, the way I like the term you just use, high conflict.
Yep.
I had one of those, and then I had one that was not, one that didn't even involve lawyers. You know, we're still good friends today, all that kind of stuff. And so to be able to experience all those, and in the high conflict one, yeah, man, I remember when, you know, I, even the church that I went to, people's kids were looking at me funny. Like, all of a sudden, people were looking at me like, oh, there he is, look away, you know, and I'm like, yo.
It's the monster from under the bed. Dude.
So did you get, was the second one less conflict, and you got better at it the second time?
Well.
Or was it the other way?
The second one was less conflict because I was better.
You got better.
Okay. Well, I was better at it. And I will tell you that, and this is somewhat subjective, but this is also my experience and what I've talked to. A lot of times, you know, the amount of conflict, this is not our topic before today, by the way. But
we'll get
of,
to our topic.
We'll get to
soon.
Our topic. But a lot of times, you know,
this is what's like when we hang,
yeah,
out.
It's just
like,
it is.
We have no clue what we're talking about, and we just go off the
well,
rails.
Well, this
yeah,
is the preface. This is like, yeah, we're getting to why yeah, fathering through,
yeah,
divorce,
yeah, yeah,
is
hang
so
in
hard.
There, everybody.
Yeah,
hang in there.
Into the fathering,
yeah,
part of it.
We're setting it up.
But I think that the probably in I'll say at least 51 out of 100 cases, normally it's the wife or the woman that will dictate or will highly influence whether it's contentious or not. I mean, obviously, if you're getting divorced, it's, you know, something fell apart in a relationship. But I'm talking about the divorce process. A lot of times it's, you know, it's, well, statistically, the wife initiates, you know, 80-90% of the time. But, you know, but I found anyway that the difference is her, in terms of whether it's high conflict, not so much conflict. But at the same time, I did learn a lot the first time that I was like, okay, I know enough now about my rights and about things that I can ask for and things that I can want and things that I can expect, that, you know, I just went into it more educated.
Yeah. It's hard for me to tell because I work on the side with dads all the time. So I hear all the horror stories, and the guys that come to me looking for assistance and coming to the community for support are ones that are very conscientious and care very much about their kids and want to figure out the best way to do this, or if they're being alienated or having challenges with their ex, they want to figure out just the best, most possible, easiest way to get through it. So I try to temper that. I don't disagree with you, but it's hard to find statistics that will support that. And I hate speculating around that, but the fact that there is a higher percentage of women who, it's something like 70-75% who file for divorce, I think may support some of that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's kind of the premise setting of this whole thing in terms of the connection with any guy that's going through that. One of the things I say is, man, and I've heard this somewhere else, that two of the most important decisions you can make is what you believe is going to happen to you when you die, and the woman that you marry.
Yeah.
Those two decisions in your life
can correlate.
Can impact your eternity.
Well, and that's why, I mean, we just did the last episode, our short version on was it last Thursday, you know, should men marry, and basically came down to, until you do all your inner work and you take the time to build foundation and then you attract somebody who matches that foundation, no. And not because you could maybe work that out in the past, but just the legal system alone. I mean, not just ladies filing for divorce more, but just the legal system alone. You're not able to go in and say, I want to have 50% of the, you know, rights with my kids and this and that, because just how it's set up, the judges are just trying to clear the docket. They're just trying to get people off the, you know, off their docket and move on to the next one. So they're just following this formula. And the formula is, mom gets the kids, she gets this percentage of your money from you, and et cetera, et cetera. And so even coming in going, I want to be a good father, I want to be in my kids' lives, it's just not set up for you that way. So really doing the pre-work, which is the internal work, and then finding somebody that matches that before you get married, which I think most of us, we learn the hard way.
Mm, I mean, man, wouldn't that have been great information
years ago?
That would have been
fantastic. Nice if we had a dad around and go, hey, this is what you do before you get married, right, instead of going, hey, son. Mm-hmm. It's almost like I used to joke, and it's but I see it, you know, we're so controlled in the household to make our parents' lives easier and not taught anything. And then they're like, okay, you're graduated, go out and get a degree, find a wife, make babies, and make me a grandparent. And you're like, whoa.
Yep.
Where were those lessons?
And I would say, even to that point, you know, back to there's a lot of things I learned the first time that I used or that I implemented the second time. And one of those was knowing that I had rights, knowing that I could come in and say, no, I want 50-50. And pushing for the things that I knew were important and the things that I knew were impacting to my wallet. Things that I knew that were impacting. And so the experience that I had, and so that's the premise behind all of this, and in terms of the experience. And so, you know, after this break, we're going to get into one of the experiences, that one of the pieces of wisdom, the nuggets of information that some guys might want to know or be able to talk about, is what that fathering process looks like, that, and specifically, you know, in most cases, the challenges involved in that.
Yeah. Stay tuned. The good stuff is coming. The wisdom is
coming.
That's
right. So with that, we'll be right back. This is the Mad Men of Masculinity, KLDC 1220 AM.
All right, real quick, I want to switch the audio just to see if we even have anything from the, because folks were trying to figure out how to get the station audio through the computer. So let's see what we got here. I'm going to do a little
testing. Hey, if anybody's watching us live, you can comment on this bad boy. If you comment on Facebook or YouTube, and it'll show up on our screen here, JBK will make you famous. So put your comment up on the screen, your question, whatever you want, your opinion, whether you agree or disagree.
That answers that question.
What, did it not happen?
I don't think we're getting any audio, so I'm going to take that off because I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
So
we're on YouTube live?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, there it goes. Yep, see, that pretty much.
Yeah, that's
okay. Cool. We're still working on it, folks. We'll get you that good audio.
We're there. You know, we're in our basement, like Bill and Ted.
Yeah,
Beavis and Butthead.
We're weird scientists.
Figuring this out, man.
We're making ladies on our computers and
weird science. We're gonna put a bra on our head. And,
yeah,
and maybe when we're done, we'll get Kelly LeBrock. I wonder what she looks like these days.
Have
I
you seen her lately?
Look like she did.
No, she doesn't. Then. She does not.
It's kind of like Charlie from Top Gun. They didn't even put her in the second one. That's when you know it's bad. When they do a sequel and they don't even put you in it.
They don't even give you a cameo?
Nah. Everybody else got a cameo or a reference. They didn't even reference Charlie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she was already like 10 years older than Tom Cruise when they made it.
They brought in Penny Benjamin.
Yeah.
They brought in Penny Benjamin, who was a byline in the
yeah,
first
she
one.
Wouldn't even have, she wasn't even in it.
And they just left Charlie out. That's when you know yeah. things then.
I saw one of those things where they put up the pictures like, you know, look at him now.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tom Ooh. Cruise looks basically the same. And then Kelly LeBrock looked not.
Well, when he rolled remember. In what's-his-face after post-cancer. Oh, man. And he
Val
couldn't,
Kilmer?
He couldn't,
oh,
yeah. he, couldn't, even talk? He couldn't even talk.
And
in
they
the
brought
movie.
Him in. Yeah. And they didn't even bring Charlie back. That's when you know things are bad, man. That's when you know that. Man, things didn't turn out too yeah. good.
No, she did some movie that I saw where yeah. she looked like grandma that has just come out of rehab.
Yeah, she's a bit bad. All right, like, let's get back on the rails.
Let's do it.
Here.
Yes, we are back.
Yeah.
Mad Men of Masculinity uh-huh. right here on KLDC. And on the interwebs. Everywhere.
Everywhere. We got the one and only Mr. Jude Sandoval, the divorce advocate.
The one
in the hizzy, in the his house. And we're talking about, you know, some of the challenges specifically with fathering through divorce. There's a lot of challenges, but we don't have time in a show here, a one-hour show, to even go through all of them. But
hopefully we'll give you some nuggets as, yeah. of wisdom yeah. of how
what to expect.
You know, what these gentlemen learned the hard way, because right. I'm going to be taking my own notes just in case.
Yeah,
I'm still on the anti because I don't want to get divorced.
Yeah,
well, you know, or you could just say that you're smarter than the, yeah. both of us.
And yeah. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that.
You can say that.
Master class because
you see, you know what happens if I say that? Then here in the next 2 years or 3 years, something's going to happen, and then I'm going to come back and y'all and be like, I told you so. Who's the smart one now? I told you
big
so.
Big dummy.
That's right. You got us around to yeah, vet, so yeah, you don't have yeah. to worry.
We'll
right.
be like
we're not going to let you go there.
We'll be like the bumpers on a bowling alley. We'll, you know, right, we'll let you right. get off into
I'm
the
I'm going to run over the gutter. Nope, nah, bounce over here.
Nope, go back that way.
How about the other gutter? Bounce over
nope, go back that way.
But just when we come to you, you got to listen.
Yeah, you got to listen. You got to listen because this is a deal. So,
well, you know, I'm hard-headed that way.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, You can put your business out there in the street if you want. But in my first divorce, there was two kids involved. In my second divorce, there was two kids involved. Again, one high conflict, one not high conflict. But I found that there are some similarities in terms of the experience with kids once you go through the divorce process. And one of the things that I found is that...
You ain't my daddy.
No, well, one of them, you know, he could say that. But ironically, that's the one I'm closest to, my son that we adopted. One of the things I believe, and I found this out, I think the dad that through divorce gets more of the blame for the marriage falling apart than the mom does. I think the mom gets graded on a curve. It's, yeah. Again, subjective, my experience and conversations with other guys, but I feel like the dad gets more of the blame for why it didn't work out. Jude, you agree or disagree? It's okay to disagree.
Yeah,
I disagree. Okay.
Because I work with a lot of guys that... Mm-hmm.
He's hearing the other side of the story.
Completely, yeah, would be completely the opposite, that they've just got some horror stories of exes, and that is, and lots of them end up with custody of the children and
wow.
primary parenting time yeah. of the children. But or the opposite is that they're fighting for parenting time with a parent that might be have a disordered personality or some mental emotional issues that are creating havoc and very difficult challenges in going through the divorce. But what I will say is I do feel like there is a culture in that the result of marriage is somewhat fantasized with women, and I had an experience at my tennis club this summer with a handful of women, and I just was like on the peripheral with them, and we just got done through doing some like mixed single stuff, and I was talking to one of the other guys, and they started talking about this woman who is going through or is potentially thinking about a divorce, and literally it became this, well, she should do this and she deserves but and da-da-da-da-da, like nothing practical about it. And I feel like oftentimes in that it, once it hits home that the math problem of one house into two households, the finances, your lifestyle is going to be different. You have nobody there to support you to do whatever it is, put the kids to bed, wake them up, take them in the morning, that you have this 100% responsibility, even though it's 50% of the time, is not the dream that they've been told by their girlfriends or by the media or by what they see on TV, et cetera, and that they're going to then be out into the dating world, and then they're going to find their Prince Charming that's going to come by and be like, yes, let me take care of you and all of your children forever, and we'll go and we'll have European vacations and a yacht. It's not that way.
And we see lots of those ladies. We've been a part of and supported different singles groups, and we feel for them because they bought into this kind of fairy tale of, oh, well, if I'm unhappy in my marriage, I can take all the stuff and leave, and then I'll just find somebody else who, you know, of the same caliber. You know, even though I'm not 20 anymore, even though now I have three rugrats, even though I'm in my 30s and 40s, and all, I mean, talking about baggage, like everything, you know, you've taken a train car full of baggage, and you're like, here, take this. And any man with any kind of wisdom or experience will be like, no. Respectfully, no.
And it's not a knock on single moms. Being a single parent is incredibly difficult, and it's a lot of work, and it's not God's design. We are in the best of circumstances with two parents and kids. It is challenging and a lot of work and stressful.
Well, that's not even the design either. It's supposed to be a village. We're supposed to have extended family. We're
great
supposed
point.
To have like
very great
generations
point.
Around us.
Community.
Yep.
A whole community. And then it gets whittled down to two parents. Now we're getting whittled down to one, and we wonder why we're struggling. And we see what's going happening with the kids too.
Well, we're sowing what we've reaped around that is normalizing divorce, normalizing single parenthood, et cetera. And unfortunately, all we got to do is look around to the kids, school shootings, to academic performance, to adult children's failure to launch. I mean, we can go on and on about that. I don't know that we want to, but it's a sad commentary on society
right
now.
One thing we need to do is there used to be this thing, and in certain neighborhoods it still happens, but it's becoming less and less, where even if it was your neighbors, they were there watching out for other kids. If they needed to discipline, even not their kids, they would do that. And so there was this community aspect of like everybody's watching out for the kids, even if they're not yours. Nowadays, try to tell somebody like, hey, your kid's messing up. See what happens. See how that goes over.
It's definitely the exception and not the rule in terms of, you know, somebody may be listening and say, well, I got a girlfriend that she got, you know, seven kids, and she found a guy that came in, and, you know, that's the exception. That's not 51 out of 100 kind of thing.
How long did that last?
Well, in most cases, it's very difficult for, back to your point of the romanticism of being able to move on and find another one.
Yeah.
A lot of times, the best guy that you can get is a guy from your past that you had, or you had the opportunity to have.
Well, and it's both sides, too. I've had women not interested because I am a dad, and there's a lot of baggage that goes around that. And when you have an ex that is challenging, and you've had a high conflict divorce and high conflict post-divorce, then that's a whole different challenge as well. And I can understand and respect the fact of men that don't want to get involved with that with single moms, and also women that don't want to get involved with that with single fathers too. Yeah. It's just very challenging.
I've actually seen kind of the opposite, where I'm more attracted to single mothers, or they think because I have no baggage, where they're used to, you know, they have their baggage, and then all these other guys have their kids and their baggage. And so instead of blending it and creating the Brady Bunch family, like, hey, look, you don't have any baggage. Come over here and take care of my baggage.
Oh, yeah.
No, thank you, lady.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the best case scenario, you don't have the conflict going through divorce or after divorce where kids are brought in into the middle of it. Kids end up being the rope of the tug of war, and they're the ones that lose. And so the best case scenario is you don't have that. I don't know what percentage. I have no idea what percentage is that versus, you know, the other side of that, which is where, you know, where she tells more of the details than she should, and she loops the kids in on her hurt and trauma and all that stuff, and the kids end up carrying some of the burden, and then they see, you know, they see one parent's side more than the other and all that kind of stuff, where they end up being caught in the middle. I think the best case scenario is when that doesn't happen. But, you know, if you're going through a divorce, guys, you got to accept the fact that that might be part of it, that you're going to maybe want to just move on, but you're probably going to have less money because statistically speaking, more often than not, men are paying child support and or maintenance. And so some of your paycheck after taxes is going to her. the kids won't be told, you know what, dad supports this house, or your dad supports this house, even though he doesn't live here. Mm-hmm. So maybe you don't go on so many vacations with him because he's funding some of ours or whatever. And so the best case scenarios you can have is that the kids aren't being brought in the middle and the kids aren't being told stuff they shouldn't be, or maybe they are told stuff that would benefit you or give you some of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, the best case scenario is if you can work as a co-parent right. with the other parent, and mm-hmm. hopefully that parent does the work that they need to do in order to get themselves healthy, to understand the unhealthy dynamic that led to the failure of your relationship and your marriage, that they can go and they can find somebody and have a healthy relationship, that you can do that, possibly remarry, and then hopefully do it better the second time, and then the kids can see from that they have healthy parents that are working hard. They made a mistake. They owned up to the mistake. They did the work. They got better. They found somebody else, and then they modeled what was a better circumstance the second time around. That's the best case scenario. And so when I talk to guys about doing this, there is the opportunity to do that, and we call it a life 2.0 in that. But it takes what Jason was talking about, which is you need to really learn and understand. And one of the things going through this, particularly as a dad, because you don't want to just generationally, and there's statistics that show that this is a generational thing. If your parents were divorced, the statistics show that there's a higher probability that you are going to be divorced as well. And I'm not going to go into the details about that, but there is this opportunity if you're going through this, that if you take the time, you really work hard to learn the lessons around that, be healthy, go into an attempt to try to get into another relationship and model that for your kids. There's huge benefits to showing kids how you can get through something so incredibly difficult and painful like divorce, coming out on the back end and then being successful the second time around.
I'm glad you said that, because I had several friends, guy friends, who were going through divorces and dealing with the she's doing this, and I'm doing, and they're basically just bickering. So they turned into teenage kids in high school again, him and his ex or soon to be ex, and they're just bickering back and forth about who's right, who's wrong. And every time I just had to go, okay, well, what's the priority here? Mm-hmm. Well, since it's no longer the marriage, it has to be the children.
Yeah.
And if you don't make that the priority, then you're going to sit here spinning your wheels in this negative argument back and forth, because neither one of you are going to see eye to eye probably ever again. But you can both agree very easily on the children are more important. We need to be great co-parents for the kids. So if you are in that space, gentlemen, and you don't know how to deal with your soon-to-be ex and she's filing papers and getting mean, stop focusing on her. Stop focusing on what used to be the marriage. Start focusing on the children and make them the priority, because it'll make it a lot more, probably a lot more seamless and a lot easier to go through that process when you're making the kids a priority. And maybe it might even work out in your favor, because maybe she'll soften up a little bit when you stop arguing with her about how much money she's getting and what the alimony is and et cetera, and start talking about what's best for the kids. And every time she tries to bring it back around to the money or this, what's best for the kids?
And sometimes what's best for the kids, guys, is to stand up for your rights as a father,
to be
a father, and to make it known that you want to be a father, and to not roll over and not just say, yeah, okay, because you're paying lawyers and maybe you're even going to be paying her lawyer or whatever. But to fight for your rights as a father and make it be known that you want to be in the kids' lives as much as possible. And some of that, you may not even have a choice on how much. I mean, some of that, I think the courts give kids too much permission or too much power at a young age. You know, 15 or something like that, all of a sudden they
13.
Can make 13. They can make decisions on,
it's insane,
on parenting time and all that kind of mess.
Yeah, right, so when they hit puberty, when they want to make the worst decisions of their life, let's take dad out of the picture, who might actually say no.
Yeah. Speaking of saying no.
Say no to this show. I'm sorry. No, that's the wrong thing.
Don't do that, man. No. We're going to say not no, but pause for the cause.
We'll say yes to this break.
We're going to say yes to this break on Mad Men and Masculinity KLDC.
Very nice.
Good stuff. Have you guys heard of the book, The Tactical Guide to Women? Mm-hmm. Sean Smith. It's a great book.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it on my audiobook playlist. I got to go back and listen to it again.
That first half of that book is exactly what you talk about, which is he talks about learning about yourself, who you are, what your values are, and then identifying what you want in a woman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's how we began our book. I mean, just the whole beginning of
it. And that may have been where I got it from. I know in all the research, like, I mean, that was one of the books within, you know, all of John Gray's books of, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and then a bunch of other, I mean, so many books.
And finding out who you're compatible with, and, you know, not just chasing booty.
Yeah. What I'm finding now, which is really interesting.
That was my problem when
exactly.
post-divorce
exactly,
is like,
man.
Oh yeah. Wow. You wanna, it's like I just spent 11 years on a desert. So yeah. I think I'm going to go swimming for a while.
Exactly. Dude.
We'll go jump right in the deep end.
Yeah. I've done that, man. It's like, you may want to, you know,
but that's what I think is interesting. Cause I mean, I'm still out in the dating world and I kind of go back and forth, but what I'm finding more attractive now is those ladies who have done the work and we have conversations.
Where
we're
are
almost
they?
Therapeutic.
Where are they? You thought because
I got mine, man. You gotta get yours. I got mine.
They're few
and
far
between. I put a ring on mine, dude. When I found it, I was like,
No, like I have friends. Like, I mean, even girls I'm not dating or even interested in, but I have friends, and we have these conversations about, oh, my attachment style is anxious avoidant, or I have this, you know, I'm working on this, and it's like we have this thing to talk about, which is so deep, and you get to know a person, and you feel like you know them, and so in some ways, it's like I think we should be finding women who are on a similar level of therapy and self-awareness as we are.
Yeah.
But until we do that ourselves, because I know I was the poster child of, hey, Captain Navajo, and, you know, and let me go find somebody who has my same trauma and try to heal them. And then, of course, that never works, because even if you do heal them, they go, oh, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find somebody who's healthy now, because you're obviously not.
And you know, we got to date. Obviously, it begins with dating. We got to date the person who represents best the match that we are, not who we want to be. I don't know if that makes
any
sense.
Moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Who I am right now, not who I aspire to be. And, you know, I need her to make me into something.
We should
you know
talk about this.
If I'm not that already, then I ain't going to marry somebody that's going to make me be great.
Right.
Yep.
If you ain't great now, I mean, so you find somebody that finds you amazing just as you are and is compatible with that. I mean, I did the aspirational dating for a long time, man. I love that profile picture. And, man, when I was on a date with her, it made me look like the man, you know, and on and on and on and on. Anyhow,
well, maybe we should talk about this on air.
Man, we're talking about fathering, man. That's a whole other show. That's the next one. That's the next one.
Can do dating after
divorce.
Dating
after divorce, yeah.
Dad's dating after divorce.
I like that.
All right, we go.
Yes, we are back.
Yeah.
This is That Mad Men Show.
We just kind of had a whole nother. See, that's why y'all need to check us out.
You need to do some outtakes.
If you're
got to go to YouTube and watch the behind the scenes.
If you just listen
stuff
to us on
the
radio,
to.
You only get a little piece of it, man. You need to go to YouTube and Facebook. Yeah.
We
and
already
check
got
it
the next show planned out.
Oh, yeah. We already, man, we hit a stride. Jason tried to get us off on a whole nother avenue. Man,
oh,
another
my
tangent.
Fault. Yeah.
Sure. He was going to get us off from I-25 to I-70. Sure. You're like, nah, man, we on I-25. We can go to I-70 some other time.
Always my fault.
You ready to go to Aspen. That's what it is. I'm trying to go down to New Mexico. We got Jude Sandoval in the house, the divorce advocate. We're talking about the challenges of fathering through and post-divorce. I got a term for you, man. I know you know the term because you got to. I mean, if you don't, get out. The term, and I want you to speak to it for a second. Parental alienation syndrome. Talk to me.
Yeah, it's a tragic, tragic thing, and whatever side that it happens on. And if it's happening to you, you just know that you have somebody that is an ex or soon to be ex that has some significant mental emotional issues, because if they do not see the value in having a mother or a father involved in their children's lives, then there's significant, they have significant problems. And
so what is it?
What is it?
Yeah.
It is when there is a specific definition, but it's when one parent is attempting to influence a child's opinion and their desires to spend time or be with the other parent.
Mm, boom. I don't know if it's still the case. You would probably know more than me these days. You're more current on that. But when I had to go through the dissolution of marriage with kids, we had to take a class here in Colorado. Is that still a thing? Do you know?
It depends on the case, and it depends on a lot of factors. There's not, I don't think that there's any specific, that you are required to take a class, but oftentimes the courts will.
Yeah, when I went through it, you had to take a class that basically talked just about that. And it was a lady that taught it. And, man, she went in. I mean, she went in. Just the fact. She went in mostly on women. And she was like, ladies, that is abuse when you do that to your kids. And she just kind of went on and on with the whole topic. But, yeah.
It is abuse, but it's absolutely pointless and worthless to have somebody go through a class because, as you know, if you have dealt with anybody that has a disordered personality, it just does not register. Or if you've even been in therapy with somebody that has a disordered personality, it does not register with them. So it's a waste of time. And maybe that's why they don't do it anymore or why it's not required anymore, because you're not going to convince them of something because their reality is completely different than your reality. So oftentimes in our group meetings, we get guys that showed up, and this was an experience that I had. And it becomes so hard because you start to question yourself. And so I guess to the dads out there that are dealing with some of the stuff with alienation or fighting for parenting time or some of the other difficult and challenging things that arise, that you're not crazy. Get involved with a divorce group. Get involved with some other guys or somewhere that you can bounce stuff off of. I had one really good friend that I was able to bounce stuff off with that was very incredibly helpful. But even to a greater extent, if you can get into there's narcissistic abuse help. There's all kinds of, if you go on Meetup, there's all kinds of different places now that is very dad friendly, male friendly, that will welcome you and help you to see and make head and tail of these, because you literally feel like you're crazy, and you're not going to get from the courts, hey, you know, you're right, Dad, you matter. And you're not going to get from the media, hey, Dad, you matter. And you're not going to get from anybody out there, the attorneys, anybody, that, hey, yeah, you're the one, you know, we're going to fight for that. It is not a message that you're getting. So you're not crazy. If you're dealing with any of this challenging stuff, get the help. That's why we built the Divorced Advocate community. And I'm not the only community. There's stuff out there. There's podcasts out there. There's help out there. But and even just a therapist or a coach or a divorce coach, something like that, get the help, because you're not crazy. And you need, like you said, Kurt, like you went through it twice. I would probably speculate that you're still even not an expert on this. Okay. Well, and hopefully we'll never become experts on this. And I'm not an expert on it because I've only been through it once, but I'm immersed in it with all the other guys that have gone through it as well. So I have a little more working knowledge, but nobody's going to be an expert on this. It's just brutal.
I'm glad you bring that up, because that cognitive dissonance that men go through, and I think one of the things we've talked about before, and I'm sure Kirk can, you know, really jump off on this one, but the woman you divorce is not the woman you marry. And I think for most guys, they're still struggling with, well, we loved each other so much, and I can't believe she's changed so much. And, you know, when it gets to that point, they're really a different person. And it is, they're coming after you like an enemy, like they're trying to destroy you. And so there's that cognitive dissonance for most guys, like, I can't believe she's that way when we were that way when we got married. And, you know, just having some support to realize, it's not you. You're having cognitive dissonance because she has changed. She has decided to disillusion the marriage, and now she's made you the enemy, and she's going to probably turn the kids against you one way or another. And so just being aware of that, like, this is what's going to happen while you're a father through a divorce.
Now, here's the reality in the process, and this speaks to the way it's kind of set up through the court systems. You know, when you have child support, you pay, and this is, at least I can speak to Colorado anyway, you pay the family support registry, and they pay her, or they funnel the money to her. And whether that's, you know, voluntary payments or involuntary payments, meaning it's, you know, some kind of payroll deduction or something along those lines. Either way, you know, you miss a child support payment, you got a problem with the court. Like, it's beef with them. She doesn't have to go to the court to tell them that you missed a child support payment. She doesn't have to fight for that. Once that's in place, it's in place. And if you miss a payment, you miss the payment to the court, you know, not to her. Now, what is not the same is, let's take, for example, parenting time, which is a function of child support. At least it's factored into that whole thing. It doesn't work the opposite. Yeah. If all of a sudden she decides, nope, you ain't getting the kids.
Yeah, right.
Nope, I'm not dropping them off, or you can't pick them up, and she disappears and all that kind of stuff. The courts have no idea. And the courts only will enforce that when you take her back to court.
Right.
So guess what taking her back to court means?
More money.
More money, more money, more money, more exactly. money. So it's not, those things don't, you know, it's not hand in hand. And so these are some of the experiences, and you got to know that's how the game is played in terms of what's enforced by who and by how and what's not enforced. And sometimes, you know, you do get the short end of the stick because, man, yeah, they can – you know, they can't play it dirty that way if they want to.
Yeah, there's no student loan deferment. There's no child support deferment where you can put it on pause for a year or 2 years. You're going to go to jail.
Yeah, the gooch is coming for you. The gooch is coming for you. The gooch is going to shake you down in the lunch line.
Exactly.
They can get it right out of your paycheck. Yeah. They can withhold your taxes. They can put you in jail, et cetera, with no input from her. With no action on her part. And so that's the reality of how that thing works.
Well, and that was one of the biggest wake-up calls for me because I was like, okay, great, we've got this agreement in place. And so now we got to follow this agreement, and the court ordered it. And what my disconnect was, or just not even disconnect, is just lack of knowledge was that, if she says, screw it, I'm not going to do this or that or whatever, then nobody cares. Mm-mm. Nobody cares until I – make somebody have to pay attention to caring about that. And like you said, then I got to go, and I don't ever recommend going to court yourself and representing yourself because you're going to get hammered, particularly as a dad. So just don't ever do that. If you got to take 2-3 jobs to figure out how to get an attorney to go to court, then do that. But then you got to go, you got to hire an attorney, and then you got to force that. And then that takes literally tens of thousands of dollars if it's going to be protracted. I mean, it's not even just thousands of dollars anymore. It's tens of thousands of dollars to get that done. So that's why when we talk about, you talked about, the first thing I say to guys is plan for the worst and hope for the best. Mm-hmm. So you got to plan that this person who's now somebody that you are in some a contentious negotiation, because it is a negotiation, that you just have to plan that they are going to go to the worst extreme. You're going to go to trial, and you're going to have to state your case. So you need to make plans from the start for that, and you need to stand up for yourself. So a lot of guys, what you describe, I was the same way. Like, I don't want to destroy her. I don't want to destroy the mother of my children. I don't want this to be contentious. I don't want it to be, influencing my daughters, because she's upset and she's going to be upset when she's parenting, except for the fact that then you put yourself into a deficit and a bad position, because then you've got the next decade, 2 decades that you're having to deal with this, and you have not set yourself or your children up for success. So you put yourself behind the eight ball. It's already going to be difficult and challenging, because we talked about the math problem, one household to two. And then you've, tried to do this amicably and taken on more of a burden than you probably should have. And then that makes it more difficult for you to parent your kids, because then you're stressed out and you might need to be working more, or you can't be present, or you can't do what you need to do with your kids to be with your kids. Because that's the number one thing. The number one thing is being with your kids, mm-hmm. spending the time, the quality time, being present, being active, doing all that stuff, not just out working and making the buck so that you can pay to just keep a roof over their heads and clothes and keep them in school.
Yeah, that's why Craig's always like promoting, spend all your money trying to save the marriage.
Yeah, because amen.
You can spend all your money.
Amen.
Yeah, you can spend all your money anyway, but try to save the marriage, because, I mean, it's not, and that's one of the things why we even did in the last episode, Should a Man Marry? One of the big reasons too is not only is it your traumas and her traumas and things like that, all of the court systems and the government systems they're there to get money out of you.
Yeah.
And so if they can, influence it somehow, and maybe you get divorced, and now it's all about, because they take a cut of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know anybody who doesn't want a smaller cut of your paycheck. I mean, even Kirk has a story of paying, 2 years over?
Dude.
And nobody called him and say, hey, you're paying child support you don't need to pay.
Dude.
Like, as a dad going through a divorce, you need to be on top of it. Know when is your last day, especially as you're paying child support, and then be on them, because it's probably going to take you a minute to even find the number that you can call, because there's no, just push one for if you want to stop paying. That's not even in there.
Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, just to do that part, just to, hey, I need to stop my child support. I mean, it's, if you go to the court website, there's one button to hit to request child support or to initiate child support. But in order to stop child support, man, you got to call this person and call that person. You got to leave a voicemail for that person because it's a government job. They ain't answering their phone.
Fill out this form
in
triplicate.
Call this and call that. And then after so long, then you got to find, okay, well, here's the email address you email to say, hey, my kid is now 19. Stop my child support. Yep. And you better do that. I mean, you better get a head start on that.
Start when they turn 18.
Because, I mean, all of that takes some time to do.
Well, and that's another great point to the dads that are considering divorce is you've got to know the law.
Yeah.
Like, even if you hire an attorney, we talk about in our group meetings is go understand the statutes, read the statutes, become educated on that. Go sit in the courtroom and see what the process is going to be, because that's disconcerting in itself, and learn what's going on, because you are the coach and the quarterback of this whole process, not only your family, but this whole divorce process, and get the help that you need. Get your financial planner, get a therapist, get a divorce coach, get a real estate agent, a mortgage broker, like all these people that you're going to need to be able to effectively do this. Because again, if you don't set yourself up for success, then you're spending the next decade, two decades, just stressed out with your kids, when you could be putting that emotion, you know, that positive emotional support and energy into parenting them. So
you could definitely find yourself working multiple jobs, with money coming out of your bank account into hers, and then watching her go on vacation with some other dude and your kids.
I think on that note, we better.
That's a great note. Thanks.
Let's take a break.
Not to scare you or anything.
Let's take a break. Matt,
I need a minute.
We'll be right back.
I'm going to go cry in the corner.
Oh, man.
It's just so dreadful, because it's like,
I wish I would have liked to have listened in last week on the to get married thing, because I had this conversation a lot. Because
we'll send you the link and you can just share it out.
It's a 30-minute joint, and just about, you know, should a guy get married? In my opinion, most guys probably should.
It was funny because I was talking kind of one way, and then Kurt comes in and goes, no.
No. Just no. Well, I have this conversation a lot because I'm Christian, and I have a lot of Christian male friends. Mm-hmm. Some of them have never been divorced, mm-hmm. and some are like, you know, institution of marriage, and I'm a firm believer in institution mm-hmm. of marriage, and I would love to get married again. But when you look, and then I've also had the debate and conversations with the MGTOW guys, mm-hmm. and saying, look, if you look at it from a purely financial standpoint, from the numbers point, from the benefits point, it makes absolutely zero sense. And I can't argue that.
Right.
Yeah. Because it's true.
And it is. I'm just like you, man. You know, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I believe in the institution of marriage. I believe in all that kind of stuff. And just the fundamentals of marriages in terms of relationship, you know, with my wife. You know, but I also believe in, you know, marrying your faith and your heart and your open mind. Going into it with an open mind, being smart about it and all that kind of stuff. So even going into the relationship, even going into a marriage, I'm like, okay, let's be smart about this. So we didn't live together beforehand. I mean, we did the prenup. We did all that stuff. I mean, because it's like, you know, we had all the conversations, the hard conversations, that stuff that I didn't learn in the past, that, you know, kind of correcting all of those. But so I believe in, going into it, you know, from a spiritual aspect, and then again from a heart. Obviously, I love this person, but at the same time, here's a reality.
You got to get through the munition.
That's the
minutia
first. Yeah, you know? I think it's incredible. Well, and it goes back to what you talked about also, which is having those hard conversations about what your values are.
You got to fight it out during
who
dating.
You are, what kind of lifestyle you want. Yeah. How many kids, or what is life going to look like, et cetera. And then that could lead into, hey, we got to have a prenup. We're going to plan for the worst. Mm-hmm. Okay. And hope and make the effort for the best. Yeah. And if any woman worth her salt doesn't
absolutely
agree with that, you don't want to be with her.
Well,
because
nowadays
you can't look at the landscape and say, you shouldn't be protecting yourself.
One way really to tell nowadays is, and I know Kurt can probably speak on this too, is like when you have those conversations and you just lay out the landscape of marriage and men today, like how it's just completely against us.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't agree, like I can see how that's logical and that, you know, the court system's against you, and I can see why you're skeptical and I can see why you're hesitant. If she doesn't agree to that, then she might not be the right person to get into this long-term thing with, because she is not even seeing how it's stacked against us and what kind of a bad card or bad hand you're actually like, oh, yeah, give me seven deuce. I'll play that. Like, give me the worst hand.
This is why I'm so in favor of a prenup.
Yeah.
Not necessarily because I'm expecting to divorce this person, but when you go through that process, you lay out everything.
Right.
You lay out, I mean, here's how much I got, here's what I got, here's my debt, here's my income, here's my assets, here's all that kind of stuff. Now, what happens? Because guess what? Every marriage ends. So it's either going to be it's either going to be a prenup or a will.
Yep. Yep.
So you have both of those in place, and we are in the will process now. You have those both of those in place because at some point this is going to end, and when it ends, here's how it should end. But in any case, you have those hard conversations, and man, just yesterday or the day before when we were having. We were talking about, you know, estate planning and all that kind of stuff. That was one of those moments where we both looked at each other and was like, I don't want to live without you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah, financially, she's going to be all right. You know, don't feel sorry for her financially, right? Mm-hmm. I mean.
She'll be all right.
But I was like, when I did the numbers, I was like, don't let these dollars, you know, start to influence nothing. But at the same time, it was a moment where we both looked at each other and was like, yeah, but I would rather have you. Yeah. And so, but to have these hard conversations, that's what you got to be able to go into it with that. Mm-hmm. And when you go into it with that and you have all those talks ahead of time, then that takes all of that kind of stuff, or I want to say it takes it off the table, but it also puts it on the table.
Well, and it's an opportunity to strengthen that relationship, absolutely, right? Because if you're doing it the right way and you're having the right conversations and then you're taking that time, then that helps you to deepen that relationship, and then you're on the same page, and then you're working towards the same thing.
Dude, there's because it's intimacy.
Yeah. Yep,
exactly. Well, exactly. That's what you're fighting it out during the dating, so that when you get into marriage, it's not a surprise.
I don't like fight it out. Like
work it out.
Like talk have a conversation. Like a conversation, because we're not gonna. We're all. I'm gonna come to a conversation different than you are, whatever it is, and different than you, and different than you. And so, if you approach it like, hey, we've got completely different perspective, different upbringing, different experiences. Like all of this is so different. So let's talk about what we collectively see of how we want this to move and what direction we want it to move.
Right.
Can we work that out? It becomes dating's a negotiation, engagement, and then even marriage is then it becomes a negotiation nonstop. Like, okay, we got to figure this out. We got to hash that out. And if two people are like really committed to that, there's nothing you couldn't figure out.
And there's no secrets.
Well, let's go ahead and get back on air. Let's do this fourth quarter because we're running off at the mouth during the break, and we're not
this
even.
This is content. This is great.
It's good content for YouTube.
Oh man, yeah. These people.
Tanner's in there. Like, I got places to go. Y'all just running off at the mouth.
We're still early, man. We started early, man.
Oh, okay, well,
Tanner's got all day.
Cranking the whip. Let's get back on schedule.
He's like, I ain't got all day. Man, get on my face. y'all golf ain't that good.
Push that button.
All right, here we go. And we're back.
Yes, we are.
We are.
Need to get some behind the scenes. Get on YouTube because we just went off the rails.
We just, man.
I had to lasso both of these kids and bring it back in. Hey, we're doing a show here.
We just got juicy. You need to go on YouTube. You need to look this one up. You need to go on Facebook. You need to look this. We just got juicy, man. We just birthed like two other shows. We spawned two other ones off of this thing.
This is going to be another month of talking to Jude again.
No doubt,
last time.
No doubt, man.
So as we're in the fourth quarter, as we're kind of bringing this plane in for a landing, as it were, let's get into some of the wisdom and the nuggets and the things. So some of the stuff we talked about during the break is something I think we should probably talk about, because before you get married, make sure you have these communications and you're willing to dig deep and get down into the foundation of who you both are, so that it's not a surprise when you do get married. Because I think that's what ends a lot of marriages, is that they get into the puppy love and the feels during the dating, and they're not actually, you know, Jude doesn't like fighting it out, but, you know, they're not conversing it out or having the discussions or taking the time to get serious and have these serious conversations, so that you're not surprised later on. Like Kirk was talking about, you know, doing the estate planning and being real, like, oh, wow.
Hey, can I completely hijack everything you just said?
Go ahead.
Before we get to the end in here, I would love for Jude to just drop in how folks can get a hold of him in case somebody doesn't wait until the very, very end.
That's a good reason to negate what Jason just said. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll be over here if you need me. Don't worry about me. I got no feelings.
Jason, we appreciate you.
We love
and,
you, Jason.
Just say where they can find you. I'm done with you guys.
Okay, I don't have to sugarcoat you. No. Make you feel better. TheDivorceAdvocate.com is the best place to engage in the community. And we've got just a myriad of resources for wherever you're at. If you've got the means to get into individual coaching, or if you just need some free content and stuff and direction, as well as workshops and other things as well. So the Divorced Advocate, there's two D's in there, .com is the best place. And the podcast is up. We've got 180 some episodes now of podcasts. So any dads that are going through anything right now, they just need a quick resource and they need to jump on and get something about how to deal with their emotions through through what's going on, or how to get through mediation or whatever. We've got podcast episodes around that as well. Or I'll give you my number, 720-255-1021. Call me directly if you're going through a hard time and you've got a challenge. I've got guys that do that all the time because we all just need a little bit of support. I don't know if I was able to. Oh, I should have done that, guys. Am I allowed to do that?
Was it 720-255-1221?
1021.
1021.
Yeah. And you can. Oh, yeah. You can put it in the comments. Please do. Yeah. Because, you know, there's times I've got. I did a podcast and I've got a good friend who is a former Mr. Universe. And this guy has just been at the pinnacle of his profession, a multi-million-dollar millionaire, has lost it, rebuilt it, was a Mr. Universe. And he talks about his divorce, and it's one of my podcasts. He talks about how he just shut the curtains and he just self-isolated, and he was just broken for 2 years. Or 3 years, I think he said, during this divorce time. So nobody should have to go through that. And it doesn't matter how strong you want it seem to be. Call, reach out, get the support. That is the single biggest sign of strength, is reaching out and getting the support. So,
yeah. Hey, Jason, I didn't know he was going to hijack 3 minutes when
that's all right. I don't
know he was going
to. I'm not even here. I didn't get divorced.
I was going to take a break. I'm just going to take the rest of this solo.
I was hoping he would drop a phone number, put an email, a website, but homeboy went off and he just straight hijacked the joint, man.
My only question was,
I'm the captain now. All of a sudden, he's in charge of the murder squad.
Right. No. My only question was, why haven't you had, or have you had Kirk on your show since he's a divorce expert?
Man. Yeah, I've had both you guys on my show.
That's true. You know. We have been on the show. I guess we're going to be back
guys,
on it.
I didn't know you guys did things solo. So are solo artists as well? I mean,
yeah. What do you think?
I thought you guys were a package deal.
You think
but
we're
Mork
and Mindy or something like that, man?
Yeah,
Fred Barney? Come on, man.
Now, we have our different areas of expertise. His is divorce. Mine is not.
Kirk, that's his way of saying he's smarter than us. Probably. Without actually saying he's smarter than us. So we get it, Jason.
I would say in terms of man, there's so much in terms of wisdom, man. And I think, you know, first of all, wisdom, the biggest wisdom is to reach out. Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest wisdom is to not go through it by yourself, not go through it blind. Mm-hmm. Go through the process with your eyes open and with a circle of guys around you. And that's why we love Jude, not only because he's a friend and a brother, but because he is a resource. He is an advocate. And he's so real that he gave you his phone number to give him a call.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, like, if you don't think you need support,
You a dummy,
because if you haven't hit rock bottom yet, divorce is going to be your rock bottom. Yeah. I mean, I don't care who you are, even if it goes well. Mm-hmm. When you are sleeping on a futon or a mattress in that little apartment because that's all you can afford, that's your rock bottom. So be prepared. Be smart and know if this is going to happen or is happening to you, get support, get people around you, ask for help, because that's going to be a rock bottom. I mean, you may think you can suck it up and fight it out, but the system is stacked. You know, the deck is stacked against you. The system is not your friend. And no matter what you think you have set up, it's probably going to be different than what you expected.
There's so much out there that is part of the process that you don't even know. Like, you don't even know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. I talk about the guy in my neighborhood that has a powder blue Ferrari. You know, my neighborhood is not a powder blue Ferrari neighborhood. But every time I see that car, I'm like, she got the house.
Yeah.
I mean, and he got a townhouse, right? He got a new place that he had to move into. That matter of fact, when I got divorced my second time, we sold our house to a lady that was getting divorced, and her husband was buying the house for her.
Ouch. Imagine that. Dude, I can't even imagine that.
I mean, and I could go on and on, but yeah, in terms of wisdom, man, you got to get a support system. You got to get guys around you that you can bounce off of, that you can vent to, that you can do stuff with, that you can help give resources, all those kinds of things. When it comes to fathering and just with that divorce process, like, it can absolutely suck, and it sucks worse when you do it alone.
Yeah, and I just add to that also, because that's all awesome, is like, don't be afraid to talk about it, because you're going to be surprised how many people go, oh, man, you know, I went through one too, or I know somebody, or my brother, or whatever. And they're going to be very compassionate about it. There's still a lot of guilt, and as much as we've normalized divorce in society, there's still a ton of guilt, because there's so much emotion that is wrapped up into it. So be open with people about it, talk about it. You're going to be amazed at the support and the uplifting and the blessings that you're going to get by doing that.
I mean, I've had experiences to one extreme where where I had to call for, I had to get restraining orders. I had the cops called on me for going to pick up my kids on my parenting time. I mean, on and on. I was working three jobs and still broke, taking hand-me-down everything. Had, you know, a place with no furniture and all that kind of stuff. So when they came over to my house for my parenting time, you know, it looked like a college dorm as opposed to, you know, what they were experiencing at mom's. Of course, they didn't know that I'm writing mom a four-figure check every month. All that kind of stuff, all the way through the other experience of two of us saying, okay, hey, this is, you know, this is where it is. How can we work this out? And, you know, we still... The kids couldn't get around us because we were texting each other. You know, they would tell her one story, tell me another story. They didn't know that we were in communication because we didn't have that kind of experience. And so, you know, the one extreme to the other, but the one factor in both of them, man, is support, man. You need support. You need support. You need support. And I think, I mean, since y'all are quiet, you know, be prepared to experience a whole lot of things. Be prepared to experience one extreme to the other. Mm-hmm. My opinion still is, be prepared to experience, you know, your kids or some, maybe not all, but maybe some of your kids having beef with you, just kind of, you know, having issues that you know, that with you as the father, that you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to take some tongue lashing, or you're going to have to take some vitriol from your kids. You might have a 13-year-old that all of a sudden says, I don't want to come to your house anymore. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I was just waiting to see if you were going to go there, because being a man going through divorce, at some point you're gonna be made the enemy.
Yeah,
you could be a saint, you could be an angel and just put your wings away. Like, you're gonna be made to look the enemy, and so be prepared to be talked bad about, to be looked down on, to and just know that hopefully at some point, and this is one of the things I tell Kirk all the time, I was like, in a few years when they get a little bit older, when they realize, you know, mom may be not so truthful, or you know, they actually grow up and get some maturity and wisdom, then they'll come back around and go, okay, Dad.
And hopefully that's the case. Hopefully. That's the best case scenario. But
so like Jew says, plan for the worst, hope for the best.
Hope for the best. I can tell you what, man, I you know, in one of my divorces, I'll tell you, it's my first one. I don't care. This is not my first one. If I ever told my kids the whole story, like, you know, no divorce, very few divorces, hardly any, are one person's fault 100%.
Right. Yeah.
There's two people involved in all that kind of stuff. And in my case, if I ever, like, told my side of the story, I mean, you know, it would be a whole nother game changer.
Well, and I'll add also to that, stay true to your values. Yes. Stay strong and stay true to your values through that, because it's when you're in the fire and nobody is saying, yeah, you're right, and I've had this battle multiple times over the last decade where I'm battling her attorney, the therapist, the court, like everybody, but nobody's saying, yeah, you know, you're right. And it comes out and it works out for you. And it might not work out, like you said, immediately. And you might, anybody who's parented knows, or is a parent or has done any parenting, knows that there is no immediate gratification, right? Mm-hmm. It is selfless, but you will see that there are fruits to holding true to those values, staying strong. And as dads, man, I think that's absolutely critical. There is something that only dads can provide to children, and that is not something that probably anybody has heard recently that's listening to this, that it's not a message that is in our society. Your kids can only benefit from something, you know, specifically that you have to provide to them. So being involved in their lives is unbelievably critical. And all the statistics and studies and everything else support this, that the number one indicator of a children having success in adult life is an involved father. Yeah. So stay involved, stay true to, you know, keep, if you're fighting, whatever you're fighting for, I mean, obviously you're not fighting just to fight, but make sure that you stay true to that and do whatever you need to do to stay in their lives.
And unfortunately, the things that kids need from dads is not the sexy stuff.
Nope.
It's not the soft, touchy-feely. It's not the warmy, you know, huddly. Sometimes it's rationality. Sometimes it's some structure, all that kind of stuff. And it's not sexy, and it doesn't play out well, and kids don't like that. Mm-hmm. And so you got to play that long game in terms of be who you want to be, remember, about 20 years from now. Like, I never talk bad about her. I mean, have that be the story that, you know, hold to your integrity, but you got to play the long game and understand that the stuff that you provide as a dad it's not real pretty, and it doesn't look really good in the highlight reel.
It is, and it's okay to provide structure, and it's okay to provide discipline, and it's okay to do all those things that come naturally for us as fathers. Now that's diminished, and we're even seeing that in courts now with this authoritarian versus authoritative, and I'm seeing that in PREs and CFI investigations and accusations around, you know, being too stringent and authoritative instead of authoritarian instead of authoritative parenting, and diminishing what dads are doing to the point that they're taking away parenting time because they feel that it has too much of a mental emotional stress on the children. But then we've got the children out there that can't handle this mental emotional stress in their own everyday lives because of what? It's not like they're going off to war anymore at 18 or 19 years old, but they're going off to college and they still can't even figure out how to balance their checkbooks or deal with a flat tire. So
they didn't have a dad around.
Because they didn't have somebody that was helping to discipline them, to understand, to teach some of that stuff. And so just stay true. Stay true to how you feel as a dad. Some of this is just inherent, right? We just learned from our dads, if we had some positive dad role models, but some of this is just natural. We are just naturally, this is, you know, not to get into male, female, masculine, feminine energies too much, but some of it is just masculinity.
And all right, so yeah, Jude will be back.
Jude's gonna be back,
and like we said last time, and he is back, and he will be back, because man, this is some thick stuff, man. There's a lot of fruit in this conversation, yep. Man. So. TheDivorcedAdvocate.com. Is there an S on the end of the website?
The Divorced Dadvocate. No. Yeah.
Okay.
JBK is going to correct that in the comments. Oh. And then his phone number is 720-255-1021. Yep. Guys, if you're going through divorce, don't go through it alone. Get a support system. You know, get somebody that's been there, that's done that, that has experience and support for you. So, dude, man, we love you, man. You are a guy, man. Like, for real. You need to lower the bar with your dress code when you come in.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
quit making us look bad.
I've told you guys I'm a pretty boy already, yeah, so I've warned you.
You're the man, man.
Well, we're here to support you
guys. I appreciate what you're doing as well.
We love you, man.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next time. And ladies and gentlemen, with that, the Mad Men are
out.
Can I point at the camera like you do, Kirk, now?